You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
It's good to see all of y'all back. What a week it has been. This has been an interesting week in the media, interesting week for Christianity. When you look at just some of the stuff that's happened this week, I'm talking about just this week on the news, we hear of a Ukrainian young lady, beautiful young lady, she's 9 years older than my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, was stabbed. Now the problem is we're seeing a lot of this in real time, right? If you are on social media, you're gonna catch some stuff that you might not wanted to see. But as she died there helpless and alone, even though there were cowards on the train with her, right? She died alone. And I can only just say bless her. I hope she knew Jesus. Then certainly the Charlie Kirk situation. You know, he was a believer and he was a patriot. And now, guess what? He's a martyr. Before you get up and walk out, this ain't no political deal unless you make it a political deal. And if you want to make it a political deal, I think you and I could sit down across from one another and I'll bring my Bible, you bring yours, and let's see just how uninvolved in politics Jesus and the apostles were when they had an opportunity. Rome was a different thing. They only had a voice when they could, you know, work within the system. And even sometimes Jesus could not, because if you say there was no religion in politics, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were very much part of the political system. And who did Jesus clash with the most? It was those religious lawyers and attorneys there. I will also say that we've had a school shooting this week. It is horrible. If you wrap all this up, there are pages dedicated to celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. There are pages on your social media that are set up, praise the death of Charlie Kirk. Now, I did not want to see this. We're going to have to pray for the Charlie Kirk family. He definitely was the Billy Graham version of the apologist. In other words, he was the debater. He went into schools, he went into colleges, and he debated people. That's apologetics. That's the word for it in Scripture. What Paul said was you need to be able to defend, to offer a defense for the gospel. And so he went even farther than just saying, because the Bible says so. He analytically and with kindness, 90% of the time, debated these kids. And as he took his final breath, many of us saw that in real time. I've never seen anybody die. I'm not a combat veteran. I don't work in a box, an ambulance. I'm not a fireman. I'm not a police officer. I've never seen anybody die like that. It was horrible. And immediately when it happened, we had some of our staff members whose kids are in law enforcement call and said, he's not going to make it. And that's not what we prayed for. We were praying for, absolutely, I bet almost everybody in this building was praying for a miracle. But you know what's so bad? As many were praying for his death. Welcome to the new America, right? Welcome to the new America. So here we are, Roman world. Because all of us Christians, sometimes when stuff happens, we go, oh, this has never happened. The first century Christians had it way worse than we did. And so as we talk to American churches today, the American Christian, especially Cross Brand, every once in a while we'll loop into someone else's feed. But I'm here primarily, maybe that wasn't the best title. I guess the reason why I wanted the title to put America in that is because right now, did you know that there's many mosques that are going out of business in Iran? They're shutting them down by the thousands. Yeah. You know why? The underground church is growing. It is growing. People are getting saved, and they're not getting saved the way it used to happen in church. Many of them are seeing dreams and visions at night, and the Lord is speaking to them, and they're seeing pictures of this risen Christ in their mind, and they're giving their life to Jesus, and they're getting killed for it. But let me tell you, when I was a kid, this is where I learned I did not want to be a firefighter. When I would let a brush pile get out that I had lit on fire, I would take a wet towel, okay, and I would go out there and I'd beat that fire out, right? What happens when it's so dry, grass is so tall, the wind is up, when you slap that thing, what happens? Spreads it. And every single time in the New Testament, when people died for the cause of Christ, it spread. It spreads. At any level, if you suffer for the gospel this morning, you are going to have people take notice every single time. You're going to empower the weak. You're going to empower the timid, just as we've seen this week. So what do we do? I'm not going to say everything you want me to say. There are some of you political zealots in here. You think I'm a sissy because I don't say enough. Well, you know what? I do want everybody to come to Crossbrand, and that includes people who do not agree with me and with you. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs is going to go to heaven or hell. And so if you think I tiptoe around political issues, maybe it's because I've got the foresight to know that it's not about this kingdom, it's about the next kingdom. So I hope I don't disappoint you too much. But number one, know this. We've been guaranteed trouble. We can navigate through a lot of this that's happening if we'll just understand a basic principle. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you so that in me you will have peace. In who? In Jesus. If you've drifted this week from Jesus, this will hit you different. What happened this week hits you different. If you drift from Jesus, or if you do not know Christ and you don't have a consistent relationship with him, you're going to look at trouble as either a personal attack or you're going to be surprised at it. And Jesus is saying, I'll give you peace, but you're going to have suffering in the world. So be courageous. Why? I got you. I've overcome the world. Even as far back in the Old Testament, Job would say, anyone born of woman is short of days and full of trouble. And how terrible that sounds until you cross-apply John 16:33 with the fact that Jesus said, yep, Job's right. But the thing you've got that the Old Testament believers didn't have is the consistent Christ Jesus living in you. That's called the Holy Spirit. That's us. That's who we got. When we can avoid trouble, that's fine. Katrina and I got to go on a trip. We get on the Maps app to see where the traffic's backed up. You're going to bale hay this week. Macaulay's going to bale hay this week. He looks at the weather app. So we avoid trouble when we can. I'm not saying be stupid, but it is inevitable. It is going to happen because Jesus promised his presence. Number two, if you hadn't figured this out, church, I don't know where your head is. I do not understand all there is to end times. I do not. And by the way, anybody that's an expert that tells you this is exactly how it's going to go down, you better change the channel. But if an expert comes on and says, here are the possibilities in regards to end times, I'll listen to that guy. But here's the thing. We know that we're in end times. Paul, talking to Timothy, who would need all of this advice, he said, hard times are going to come in the last day. Here's some characteristics of what we just saw happen this week. Listen to this. Lovers of self. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. But what does that mean for us? Well, throughout the New Testament, we've got a survival kit. And I can't give you the whole thing this morning because of time, but just look at some of the stuff that we've been told to do as what they call sojourners. We're just travelers as believers. This is not our home. What do we got to do when stuff like this happens? Number one, we got to fight the fight. Boy, somebody could turn that around, couldn't he? Well, that's rhetoric that incites violence. And I say that's garbage. Paul was putting that out all the time. He told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. He gives him a few things. And I love what the kid did at A&M this last, 2 weeks ago? Sitting in a class. The administration had already been told, don't be teaching trans theory, race theory, gender theory. And that kid, I bet his mom and daddy are proud of him. He was sitting there and he began to smell it. He smelled a teacher that was pushing trans theory or whatever theory he was pushing. And he stood up to the point that it eventually got national news. And we got people at A&M on the exit right now, as I understand it, unless something comes back, because one kid stood up and said something. What else did we find in Scripture that we're supposed to be doing right now intently is to pray. Guys, y'all don't understand. If you've missed this on any of my talks, stop just praying. I'm talking about weaponized prayer. Weaponize it. Jesus did. Paul did. Why are we not weaponizing prayer? Pray at all times in the Spirit and with every prayer request. Stay alert, but be tough. You got to have perseverance in your prayers, and you got to intercede for all of us. Pay attention. In Matthew 24 is famous for end times scholars to teach. It was when Jesus said, here's a few things that's going to happen in the end. Here's a few things that's going to be precursors to me coming, second coming of Christ. He said, watch out that no one deceives you. So there's going to be a lot of deception. And I don't know whether it's being watchful or paying attention to the deception, which one is the most important aspect of that verse. But pay attention. That is why I'm on social media. And it's exhausting sometimes. I told the people the other night not to interrupt this with some dark humor, but the reason I'm back on TikTok is because now you can tell TikTok, help me watch dumb people do dumb stuff. So that was my search, and it's been glorious. You know what else he told us? Okay, so the end times are here, but do not panic. Matthew 24, when you start hearing about wars and rumors of wars, are we there? We're there. See that you do not be alarmed. Why? Because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. That's just some birthing pains. Braxton Hicks, all you women know about it, but Jesus is saying this is the world's and the church's Braxton Hicks. It's in Matthew 24, and we can expect opposition. It is interesting to me that the people, my favorite Hebrew, he's not Christian, but he has the utmost respect for Christians. Shapiro said this week, you know what? I'm going back in. Charlie, you want to take a shot at me? I'm going back to the college campuses. And so many other kids were empowered, and he said, they will hand you over to be persecuted, and they will kill you. The only people that embrace the safety in that verse are believers that are safe in their salvation experience. People say, well, what's the worst thing they can do to me? They can kill me. That is not the worst thing. They kill you, you go to heaven. Every single person in this room that's lost a loved one this week, you ought to be about half mad at them because they beat you there. No tears, no pain, no sickness. And it may not have been a weapon that caused your loved one to be deceased. It may have been the horrible illness of cancer or other things that are horrible. Alzheimer's, but they beat us there. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to a believer. You know why this happened this week? Well, it was some radicalized kid. His partner was trans, and he probably didn't have a good home. No, I don't know. Why did a man randomly take out a knife and stab a beautiful Ukrainian refugee in the neck and just walk out? Okay, you ready? Why are people behaving the way they're behaving? Wrap this around your brain. Two sources, Satan and sin. Satan and darkness. In John 10:10, it's right there. Thief comes only to kill or to steal, kill, and destroy. I understand. We're talking about a mentally ill person. Well, now my elders gave me the go-ahead on what I'm about to say. You ready? Do you realize in 2,000 years ago, when people had schizophrenia, they weren't diagnosed as schizophrenic. Jesus walked up and diagnosed them. It was demonic. Show me in Scripture where there was a schizophrenic that went to therapy and was healed. Now, hang on. Do I believe in mental illness? Absolutely. I'm about that close to being mentally ill most days. But there are people in the psychological, mental health, one of the respected sources, journals. And I read an article. And this guy's not a Christian. He's a therapist. And he said, after about 30 years into his practice, he realized that he probably misdiagnosed some people. He realized, as a non-believer, that there's a good chance they have more of a demonic problem than they have a mental illness. Now, this is a man who is not a believer, and so he teams up with a gentleman who has a lot of experience in the demonic, in that field. And I'm telling you guys, the other day, we saw, and let me show you the second scripture, in Ephesians chapter 5, for you were once in, what? Darkness. I don't think a President Trump shooter, I don't see anything other than being motivated by the demonic that would cause people to cause such harm. School shooting? Where do they get their motivation, people? And we really need to pay attention to the dark, to the darkness. When people continually reject Jesus, I don't have time to read it, but in Romans chapter 1, you'll see what it really looks like when people reject Christ. Tremendous darkness. Tremendous darkness. And people that live apart from Christ, I don't know how to say it. That we all were once in darkness until we came to faith. I don't care if you're 7 or 70. You were motivated by a different source. Was it as bad as demonic possession? I hope not. But I feel everybody in this room could agree that we are sometimes in a situation where we sense the presence of darkness. Can you imagine living, being motivated by that? So why do people do evil things? Bottom line, Satan and sin. The bullet that came out of that gun that killed Charlie, I think all hell was applauding it the other day. You ready? And all of this kind of got some bad news for you radicals, Facebook warriors, keyboard warriors. You realize that we are ambassadors of Christ. You know what that means? Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We have plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So as ambassadors, as Jesus' representatives on earth, it is our job to share the gospel at some point, at some level, through some means. Family, circles, and strangers. That's our job. How good a job did you represent Jesus Christ on your social media this week? Now, a lot of you, Daryl, don't even know what Facebook is. And possibly had a little bit to do with it until about 6 months ago, he was using a bag phone. See, Gen Zers don't have a clue what I just said. And that's all right. I like to keep Gen Zers kind of stirred up in parables. Yep. So would Christ approve your post? I will say the way you respond to bad situation is teaching your kids a whole lot. Some of you are teaching your kids hate. Some of you are teaching your kids the ultimate Pharisaical trick, which is to separate yourself from unbelievers. Did Jesus separate himself from unbelievers? Say it out loud. I need to hear. All right, well then why did you unfriend so many people this week? Do I need to say anything else? Here's what I would do. If they're vile, I got some vile friends. So I unfollow them. That means I don't have to see their garbage post. But I want them to see my post about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this week, if you really want to show evidence of repentance, go back and refriend those people. And if you said something stupid that Jesus wouldn't say, apologize to them. Send them a private message. Pick a phone call. Guys, you are not separatists. We are called to be in the world, but do not embrace its habits and its values and its norms. Be an ambassador, even during this time. You know what? And interesting thing is, I just need y'all to know, having said everything I just said, you're not helpless, right? You know that. You're not some human sissy that just had to be following Christ. A lot of people, a friend of mine, he's an old bull rider. And he's just a knothead. And I guarantee you, if he's watching, he goes, preacher was talking about me. He is foul. He is an old, hard-headed, possibly brain-damaged bull rider, which most of y'all are if you're a bull rider. Actually, if you want to know the truth, that was your selection. You probably had brain damage before you got on the first one. But you know, one of the things he always used to say and brag about, he had a guy that stole some money from him on a horse deal. And he said, apparently you are confused. You know, the fact that I'm a Christian and a businessman, you're confusing weakness with meekness. And he said, you've got about 5 minutes and I'm going to show you the difference. Jesus was meek. Jesus was not weak. Jesus was not weak. And that is the reason that through Paul to Timothy, he said, God ain't giving you the spirit of fear. Power, love, sound judgment, that's what God has given you. So don't confuse meekness with weakness. We understand that. But Jesus stood up to immoral people. His tactics were different in every situation. But most of the time, Jesus stood up to evil people by asking a question with a question. And I finally figured that out. And you will get a lot farther in a debate or an argument if you just simply respond to a question with a question. Because you're pushing that accountability, but you're not shutting down the conversation. And also, I got to tell you this morning, which is one of the biggest reasons Christians stand up for the murder of unborn babies, is we understand that Jesus always stood up for the oppressed and the helpless. Perfect example, the day that Jesus went ape in the temple, the little meek thing that you saw in some of your old Sunday school classes at your old church, you got the Jesus sitting up there and he's got a halo. He's got that sissy look like this. How many of you grown men that ever have reached puberty would have somebody take a picture of you like this? You wouldn't. And I'm not talking about being a muscle man or anything here, but I still like Mark Driscoll, regardless of what you think about Mark Driscoll. Mark Driscoll put out a post this week and he said, where were the people on the train, the men that literally saw it happen and then got up and walked by it? They are no men at all. They are no men at all. And I'm telling you, I want my grandsons, even my granddaughter, to know if you're in a situation and someone is being attacked or abused or bullied, I believe it is your duty to stand up as a Christian. Now, I'm not sure how far you go with that as far as physical violence, but I will tell you, we've taken this pendulum swing in America to where used to men would be men and stand up and do something, and oftentimes their faith motivated them, and now maybe we've been told to sissify just a little bit. One of the ultimate goals of Satan is to feminize our men and our boys. Guys, that's not, God created us to be hunters, caretakers, crap talkers. Men have different language than girls. We say stuff when it's just the guys. I wouldn't even want you to be a fly on the wall any conversation you have with Brett Wells about his surgery. Now, he ain't telling the girls that, but he comes in and goes, guys, come here. Let me tell you what they did to my stuff. Kathy, you're not doing a very good job on him. I'm saying, you do your research. Would Jesus be in favor of weapons for personal protection? Absolutely, because he sent his boys out with their own personal protection. Now, thank God I carry a pistol and not a knife, because I would be in trouble. I'm not a knife person. I cannot cut a rotisserie chicken without cutting my finger off. So I'm out on the knives. Y'all paying, hey, you parents, you paying attention to what your kids are being taught in school? You going to school board meetings? Well, I don't want to cause a stink. You need to cause a stink. If a teacher would have said, of course, my kids are homeschooled, thank God. You'll be working for them sometime. Yeah, I heard Ben Shapiro say, no, I heard Charlie say one day, you know what a homeschooler is in 10 years? Your boss. We've been so blessed, and I love public schools. That's where I cut my teeth on real ministry. But we got to pray about what our kids are ingesting. and who is shaping them. You know what, parents? They got them longer than you do. So you got an 8 to 10 hours, if you got sports and you got this and you got that, and they may go to your local church, your local Baptist church, but what are they saying in the classroom? Pay attention. What about city council? What about county commissioners? One final thing. Thank God. We got to respond to all this different because we are ultimately people of hope. You get what I'm selling here? What's the worst thing that happened to us? Well, we could die. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I stay here, I'm sharing the gospel. If I die here, I'm living to what the gospel told me with Jesus. In 1 Peter 3, blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because of his great mercy. He has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So all of our people that are in heaven right now, they're in a new place where nothing bad remotely happens. No sickness. They're healed. And then ultimately, we see we have hope. Now, I want to show you something real quick. Because my time is done. All right, I want everybody to focus on this particular scripture in Psalms. I'll give you a second to read it. Read it twice. All right. Watch this. The day Charlie Kirk died, the day you first saw the stabbing in real time, the first time you heard, and I'm just talking about the news this week, not... We're also reminded of what happened 20 plus years ago at 9/11. What did your grandchildren do when they heard this news? I'm talking about the little ones. What did they do the night of this? You know what they did? If you tucked them in bed, you fed them, you know what they did? They went to sleep. You were up fretting. A child was just trusting you. Did your grandchildren feel any less safe in your homes, your child, your grandchild? Good Lord, he's doing the moonwalk over there. Thank you. Michael Jackson really needed to be part of this invitation. My point is, I got physically sick. You're going, well, you just had stuff happen. Surgery. I did. But I got sick. I got sick again yesterday. Just making sure I handle this right. I have been stirred up. And I finally looked at Quill and I said, you know what? I'm sitting here, got all this stuff on this paper. And he's as long as I'm taking care of him, as long as we're feeding him, changing that dang diaper, and it really don't hold 15 pounds. Asleep, rocking good, he don't care. Guys, Jesus said you got to become like a child sometimes. Just trust me. Psalm 91, I can rest because I'm trusting you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your comfort. But it's in your word we find our survival kit. And so this, Father, we got a lot of people here this morning. Maybe it's a reaction to what happened this week, what's been happening in America. Praise God. But Lord, we're seeing the early church persecution in real time right now. So two things I pray for our people right now at Crossbrand. Number one, if they are not saved, they never ask you for forgiveness, trusting the fact that you are who you say you are. I pray that right now where they sit, they'll say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And secondly, if you are believers, y'all ain't got time to drift. We need you to step up. If there's a believer here that's drifted, I pray this morning they'll come back. Guys, y'all look at me real quick. If you have been saved in this service, I wish you would go right down front and tell somebody because you just picked a fight with the devil if you prayed that prayer. Sorry, I tricked you, right? No, you just picked a fight with the devil. We want to pray with you, show you what's next. Number two, if you are a believer that has drifted, you cannot imagine how dangerous that is in the climate that we're in America. We've got to quit being such sissy Christians and say, Jesus, I will pick up my cross, however that looks, and I will follow you. I hope y'all have a wonderful week, and God bless.